Hello, 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 and welcome to the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. I'm Lynn. Please like, follow, comment, and subscribe. Go ahead and hit that subscribe button so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring and encouraging show. My guest today is Debbie Turner Bell. She's an award-winning author, TV personality, journalist, business leader, and Miss America 1990. She's a veterinarian and a strong woman of faith, and she's written another great book that you surely will want to read, titled Courageous Faith, A Lifelong Pursuit of Faith Over Fear. So, Debbie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Lynn. It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. And we are just so delighted to be talking to you, a strong woman of faith who grew up with Christian values. Where were you raised?
Well, it's a little complicated. I'm a child of a career military officer. So I was born in Hawaii, but I spent most of my childhood in Arkansas. So I'm a little country girl.
In there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
What other places did you live?
So I lived six different places, or we moved six different times the first 5 years of my life. I was born in Hawaii, and then during those first 5 years, we were stationed in Kansas, Kentucky, Missouri, I think that's all. And then finally, my father was recruited to teach on staff at Arkansas State University in their ROTC department. So Jonesboro, Arkansas is where we moved to, and that's where he grew up, actually. And so when we moved there, I grew up there until I left for veterinary school.
What was special and unique about growing up in your household? And talk a little bit about the values that they instilled in you while you were in that household. Did you have any special rules that you couldn't do this or couldn't do that?
Oh, girl, I had the quintessential Southern mother. So, yes, we have rules. And I grew up in a time, I was born in the 60s. So back in the 70s, it was still okay to spank a child. So I grew up not getting spankings. I got whoopings. W-H-U-P-P-I-N. Don't even have the G on there.
Oh, okay.
But my mother had very high expectations for me and for my older sister. We also grew up in a household of faith, in a Christian home. And so I went to church every time the door flew open. We were at every church service, Bible study, shut-in, intercessory prayer.
You know, oh, goodness. Service.
Name it, we were there. But it instilled in me the foundation for faith that I still walk out to this day. And I'm so appreciative for it now. I didn't like it when I was growing up, but I'm glad for it now. And also, I grew up in a home, my mother and father, both very well educated, both have their master's degrees. So education was stressed in our family, in our home. And it was not a matter of if I went to college, it was where I would go when I went to college.
Oh, wow.
There was a high academic expectation there as well.
How did you get involved with pageants?
It's directly connected to my educational goals. So I was not one of those little pageant girls. I was not a toddler in a tiara at all. I loved animals. I loved science. I wasn't so much a tomboy, but I did not play in my mother's jewelry or makeup, that kind of thing. I just loved to discover how the world around me worked. So I decided pretty early on that I wanted to be a veterinarian, and I did the research and found out what it was going to take in terms of education and how much it was going to cost. And when I saw that price tag, even way back then, I knew that it was much more money than my family was going to be able to afford. By that time, I was in a single parent home. My mother and father divorced when I was a little older. And I knew that we just couldn't afford it. We were lower middle class, which meant we weren't destitute, but we only had the basics. We had a home, had food, but you know, the clothes we bought were on sale, or my mother made them. When we went on a vacation, it was packing up in the car and packing bologna sandwiches and red Kool-Aid. So I knew I was going to have to find scholarships or grants or loans or jobs, something to pay for this education that I wanted. And so when I was a junior in high school, I was recruited to be in a high school pageant. And I just did it on a lark for the fun of it. I did have fun, and I just happened to win it. But one of the judges for that pageant was a director for a local pageant in the Miss America system. And so she tried to convince me to be in a Miss America preliminary, and I just wasn't into that. It just wasn't my thing. And I kind of said, no, thank you. I'm going to be a veterinarian. I'm going to be a doctor. And so she then, in order to convince me, said that the Miss America pageant is is the largest source of scholarship for women in the world, and that if I won a local pageant, went on to state, won a state pageant, and went on to Miss America pageant, I could win tens of thousands of dollars in scholarship money, even without winning the title Miss America. And I saw it as a means to an end. This was a way to help pay for the education that I wanted. And so that's how I got involved in the Miss America system. It was just a way to win scholarship money to pay for my education.
Okay, you use that to pay for your education, which also paved the way for you to have a successful life beyond the pageants, didn't it?
Yes. Of course, pageants are not as big in popular culture now that as they were back when I was competing in the 80s, going into the 90s. But it was something that provided a platform for me to hone my communication skills, learn how to set goals and be determined to achieve those goals, learn how to take criticism, constructive and otherwise, and survive it and kind of eat the meat and spit out the bones in order to improve. And so being in the Miss America program when I was a late teenager, early 20s, was absolutely instrumental in my success in almost everything I've done since then. So I'm a big fan of the program and what it did for me and what I've seen it do for hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of other young ladies. Like I say, it's not as big now as it was back then, but it was a great way to hone goal setting, goal achieving skills. And so I'm so grateful for the opportunity.
It's not really seen in the same light. It's viewed a little bit differently because those pageants, they went through some times where people were like, they're downplaying women and their intelligence. What has been your biggest blessing and then your biggest challenge in life that tested your faith?
Wow, that's a great big question. I love it, Lynn. let's see. Biggest blessing. Well, because of the way you ended that question, what's the biggest blessing and the biggest test, challenge that tested my faith? I'm going to start with a challenge, and probably the really biggest one was the death of my mother at 55. She was 55. She had been battling cancer. We thought she defeated it, and she was in remission, and she died suddenly and unexpectedly. Mm. And my mother was a woman of faith. She was a teacher and preacher of the Bible. As I told you, I grew up going to church, but I saw the power of God at work in her life, in her ministry, and in our home. So God is real to me because I've experienced him. Jesus is real to me because I've experienced him, not just because I grew up in it and was indoctrinated. And so when she got sick, I fully expected God to heal her. I had been healed as a little girl. I remember I had an incurable rash. They couldn't tell what it came from, what was causing it, but it was spreading up my face. I write about this in my book, Courageous Faith. And mm-hmm. my mother anointed me with oil and prayed over me and asked God to heal me. And woke up the next morning, every bump was gone and has never returned. So I've seen the work of God in my life and through my mom. So I fully expected her that God would heal her from cancer. Mm-hmm. And that's just not what happened. And she did go on to be with the Lord. And that was tough for me. I was in my 20s. I was fully an adult and out of the house. But still, I needed my mama.
Yeah.
And I wasn't ready for her to leave this earth. And I didn't understand. And, you know, I can remember, you know, saying, God, I know you exist. I don't doubt your existence, but I don't like your ways. It just didn't seem fair. But through time and a lot of prayer and, quite frankly, Christian counseling, I went to counseling to deal with the grief and the trauma of losing my mother so suddenly, and that healing, God worked healing in my heart. And there are still questions that I have. You know, I still don't understand why she can't be on earth with us, but I worked through the trauma and the pain. And so that probably is the biggest thing that tested my faith. And let me just add in there, since you asked the question, mm-hmm. Is God is big enough to handle our questions. And we should be authentic and honest with him. And when we are hurting, and even when we're angry at God, God's not scared of us. We can tell him we're mad at him, but maintain an open heart and allow him to work in our heart and in our lives. And he'll do that through a variety of ways and bring healing. And I'm a living witness to that. And now, my mom's been dead now, oh my goodness, 25, 26 years. But now, when I look back, I don't remember the trauma of her death as much as I remember the victory of her life. And that's a work of God in my heart and in my mind. And I'm so grateful for that. So let's see, the biggest blessing mm-hmm. that challenged my faith, I think it would have to have been winning the Miss America pageant, because it catapulted me into a life that I wasn't prepared for. You know, I was this little country girl from Arkansas, growing up really sheltered from a lot of the, you know, the harsh things of the world. I won that pageant, and back then, Miss America was a bona fide celebrity. Everybody knew who I was. I couldn't go anywhere without people, you know, bombarding me or wanting to take a picture or ask for an autograph or wanted something else from me. You know, as a young woman, I wasn't prepared for that, the bright spotlight of being in the public eye. And it really took intentional effort to maintain my relationship with God. I can see how many celebrities kind of go off the rails because that stuff can intoxicate you. You know, it can be intoxicated to be so celebrated and have access to all of these, you know, posh, highfalutin places. And, you know, thank God for a mama who kept my feet on the ground. You know, saying, have you prayed today?
Amen.
You know, have you read your Bible today? And I'm so grateful for that. It was, you know, one of the most exciting things that happened in my life. But it also presented the opportunity for me to stray away from my core faith. By the grace of God, you know, he kept me. But it was a crazy experience. And I talk a lot about that again in the book.
Oh, wow. I bet it was because you did the Miss America and then you went on to do veterinary medicine. And I remember you when you also were TV personality and talking about taking care of your pets and our little furry friends. So I do remember you doing that, too, because I grew up in St. Louis. And I just remember you. Didn't you do some TV in the Midwest?
I started my TV news career in St. Louis. My very first real TV news job was at KMOV, the CBS affiliate.
Mm-hmm.
I did a weekly pet segment, but not long after that, I was hired by KSDK, the NBC affiliate, to host a show that is still on the air, and I can't believe it's still on the air, but Show Me St. Louis. I and John Pertzborn were the two original co-host of that show when it started.
Isn't that something? You just never, and I remember watching that, but I remember you being on the air in St. Louis. See, you just never know, do you?
You never know. You never know what doors might open. We just have to be willing. You know, since you said that, you never know. You know, part of what I hope to convey in the book is we have to be willing to be open to opportunities that God presents to us. And going to veterinary school prepared me in no way for having a 25-year career in broadcast news and being on television. But I just trusted God, and I believed he presented the opportunity, and I made the best of it. And, you know, when I got my first real job in journalism, it was that job at Show Me St. Louis. And I thought that was going to last 2 or 3 years, and then it would peter out, and I'd go back and practice veterinary medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, little did I know that I would end up at the network and then end up working at a global cable network and anchoring 25 years later. So we have no idea what God's plans are for us. We just have to be willing to walk through those doors when they're presented to us.
I had one friend, and you've probably heard folks say this too. They say, in reference to God, trust the process. And I've heard that quite often, too. And the same thing as leaning on your faith, trust the process. I believe that's the same thing.
Well, they're very, very similar. You know, with trusting the process, I kind of internalize that as even when God, you know, has a purpose or a plan for us, there is a process for that purpose. So, for instance, God had a plan for me to become Miss America. However, I had to practice the marimba 3 hours every day and get private lessons. I had to read newspapers and news magazines, other periodicals to know what was happening around the world. I had to work on my communication skills. I had to learn how to take criticism and improve and be a better version of myself. That was the process.
Okay.
So very often when we have a calling on our lives or we have a purpose on our life, there's a process that comes with it. And so we have to be willing to go through that process so that when the door is open, we're ready. And there's a quote, not nearly as divine as this one, but I think it was Michael Jordan that said that when we are prepared, then we can walk through a door when it opens, but we must be prepared. So, you know, he has become one of the greatest athletes and certainly basketball players of all time. And I believe that that was divinely ordained for him, but he had to, you know, practice hours and hours when everybody else was hanging out and chilling. You know, he had to work on his skills when everybody else had left the team practice, he was still there. You got to be prepared for when that door opens. That's the process that we have to be willing to go through and allow the Lord to take us through so that when the opportunity comes, we're ready.
Like the kids would say, you got to be ready. Are you ready?
Right. That's right.
Now, your
book. Preacher says it this way, get ready, get ready.
You're ready. Yeah, Jake's. Now, let's dive into what's in your book, Courageous Faith, A Lifelong Pursuit of Faith Over Fear. I know we've talked about bits and pieces of it throughout this conversation, but how did you come up with the title? Is it just perspective on your life and that you had this courageous faith?
Well, I don't think I knew I had courageous faith as I was going through so much of what I write about in the book, but I like to make this point that most of us do have some measure of faith, or we wouldn't get out of bed. We have faith that the day is going to be okay, so we leave our houses and we embark upon the day. So most of us live with some measure of faith, but it's the faith that allows us to get up when we've been knocked down and we don't know what the next step is, but we're willing to get up anyway. And so I write about that at the very beginning of the book. I open the book up with the story of me laying in a fetal position on a hotel room floor after losing the Miss Arkansas pageant for the third time and crying, sobbing uncontrollably about that. And while I was there in a puddle of tears and shame and frustration, after I had cried literally all the tears out of my body, I heard what I believe was the voice of God in my heart say, Debbie, I'm faithful. Now get up. And I didn't know what was going to happen next. I didn't know if I was going to be in another pageant. I didn't know if I was ever going to win a pageant, but I trusted God. And so I had enough courage to get up because I believed in his faithfulness. And that's what courageous faith is. And so this book is, it's not a autobiography per se. I call it a memoir with a faith message. So there are a lot of stories from my life and experiences that I have, but they're all attached to what I believe are core motivational principles that if we live by them, we can maximize the potential that God has given us. So I open up with failure because every success is built on a foundation of failures. And that is you try, you get knocked down, you get back up and you try again and you get knocked down. You get back up, you learn some more, you try again. And then I go through each chapter is about a motivational principle, a move on to faith and determination and excellence and authenticity and so forth and courage. And so courageous faith is really about getting up when we are at our lowest, when the world is telling us, when conventional wisdom, and in some cases when our friends are and family are telling us, you can't do it. You don't have what it takes. It's not the right thing for you. It's too hard. It's too expensive. It'll take too long. But to get up and take baby steps, one step at a time toward what God has for us. That's what I believe courageous faith is. That is in large measure what I had to live out, both in the Miss America experience, but even getting into and going through veterinary school, my career in television. All of it came through a lot of faith and tears and patience, trial and error. Nothing came easy. Nothing came quickly. It all took courageous faith.
And with that, you have a lifelong pursuit of faith over fear. And you just talked about that in some respects when you were saying you get knocked down. And then maybe a fear sets in then, which could make you stay down. But something about faith can pull you up over that fear.
Yeah, I believe the opposite of faith is fear. And I believe that the enemy of our soul presents fear to us every day as a reason to not try, to not improve, to not overcome. And so we face every day a fundamental decision. Will we choose faith or will we choose fear? Will we allow circumstances and obstacles and setbacks and sometimes even betrayals and tragedy to stop us from moving forward? Or will we have faith that I don't know where this is going to lead, but I'm going to take one step? And so choosing faith over fear is a daily choice. And sometimes it's an hourly choice. And if things get real crazy and left, then it's a minute by minute choice. There are some difficult things in life that I've faced that I've literally just had to take it 1 minute at a time, 1 hour at a time. You know, I don't know if I can do this for the next 5 years, but I can do this for the next 5 minutes. I can do this for the next 5 days. So it's a continual choice. I'm going to choose faith. I'm not going to let fear hold me back in life.
And that's something that I'm sure so many of our folks out there really needed to hear and to know, like, if you can make it through this 5 minutes, then maybe you can go 10, then maybe you can go an hour, then maybe you can go a day, and then so on and so forth. If you choose your faith over fear, and that God will not and he does not let you down. He may not give you exactly what you want when you want it at that moment, but he will, as they say, show up right on time.
Absolutely. I look at it like this. I've run a few marathons in my life. Every one of them, I ran them 1 mile at a time. I couldn't think about mile 25 when I was on mile 2. I just had to think about mile 2. Every mile built on itself until I finally got to the 26th mile. And that's how life is. You know, don't think about, not that we shouldn't plan. We should have plans. But in terms of the difficulty and the adversity, you know, don't think about the adversity that's going to come 5 years from now. Just focus on now. What can I do now? How can I prepare myself now? And one step will build itself upon the other.
All right, Debbie Turner Bell. The book is Courageous Faith, A Lifelong Pursuit of Faith Over Fear. So where can people purchase or download the book?
Oh, well, thank you so much for asking. You can get it anywhere you get your books, particularly online. You'll find it on Amazon.com and Barnes & Noble in many bookstores around the country. Or you can also go to my website, which is just my name, DebbieTurnerBell.com. You just have to spell Debbie the way I spell it, DebbieTurnerBell, DebbieTurnerBell.com, and be able to get a link to get to the book as well.
So how can people reach out to you if they want to find you on social media, or do they just go to your website? How do they find you?
You can go to my website, but I'm on most of the social media. I'm Debbie Turner Bell on Instagram, Debbie Turner Bell on LinkedIn. I'm Debbie TB on Facebook. And I'm Dr. Debbie on Twitter.
Dr. Debbie on Twitter. All right, Dr. Debbie Turnerbell, thank you so much for sharing with us today. And again, the book is Courageous Faith, A Lifelong Pursuit of Faith Over Fear. So we've got to live that life of faith over fear. Take it one day at a time.
Thank you, Lynn, so much. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
And audience, I want to thank you for joining us today as usual. Now, don't forget to subscribe so that you never, ever miss an episode of this uplifting and inspiring show. So go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Believe me, you will not be sorry, and your soul will be happy. Now, if you'd like to reach me, Lynn Woods, you can find me on Twitter. That's at Lynn Woods, LINWOO. DS, or Instagram at LynnWoods96, or Facebook or LinkedIn at just Lynn, L-I-N, last name Woods, W-O-O-D-S. This has been the Lynn Woods Gospel Entertainment Podcast, where we talk to inspire. God bless.